Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Peterman. We know that no one understands what you need better than you do. We take care to guide you through the legal process, ensuring that you're able to make the decisions that are best for you. If you have a personal injury, criminal, or family law issue, please take a look at our website to learn more about our practice. We offer a free initial consultation for personal injury cases. Give us a call at 229-375-5680. We have a reputation for being accessible and treating our clients well. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hello, I'm Guy Terry of Terry and Peterman. At Terry and Peterman, we're committed to representing the hardworking residents of South Georgia in personal injury, criminal, and family law matters. For years, we have worked with college students in this area to ensure legal issues do not disrupt their academic careers. We also represent military families struggling with divorce and family law issues. We rely upon over 30 years of combined experience to provide aggressive representation for our clients.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
This is Georgia Wrestling Now. My name is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. Tonight I'm being joined only by Josh Wheeler. Johnny Danger will be unable to be part of the show tonight, so refunds are available at the point of ticket purchase for those who bought tickets to hear Johnny Danger. How are you tonight, Josh?
I'm very moody and quite... just dejected. I'm just like mood swings and a lot of anger right now over the government taking my money and the lack of caffeine. That's about
it. Well, one of those is easily remedied.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get some caffeine after I get this office and run to the store and get me a soda or an energy drink or something. But I will say that today is the 10th anniversary of Kanye West's classic College Dropout album, and if you are a fan of good hip-hop, it's one of the best albums of the 2000s. And if you're not a fan of good hip-hop, well, then I'll find something else to tell you is an interesting quotable. I just saw that earlier today on Reddit and was like, oh, man, it's one of my favorite albums, so I'd love to do it all day. Any wrestling going on in Georgia last week?
There was quite a bit. I didn't make it to any. I was at the Days of the Dead horror convention where there was not any wrestling, but there was a pretty strong wrestling contingent. Rowdy Roddy Piper was there, and he did
right.
A stand-up comedy show. Ron Simmons was there. April Hunter was there. There were a lot of wrestling fans there. I saw a lot of T-shirts and stuff, and the vendor's room had lots of wrestling memorabilia. And I did talk to Roddy Piper, and he does want to call in basically one Monday before WrestleMania because it's confirmed that he's going to be there in capacity. So I'm just going to stay on top of that and keep trying to confirm a date. But he was very nice to talk to. I mean, I didn't expect him not to be, but he was very pleasant and seemed genuinely interested in calling in and talking about his Georgia days and everything else.
And it's funny that you say that because I hear him on podcasts all the time, and, you know, it's always the same things, Piper's Pit and Hall
yeah.
of Fame and WWE, and it's like he did so much other stuff. Like, honestly, like one of my earliest memories, and I was like a little baby, was Roddy Piper and the Greg Valentine feud. I don't even remember the match, really. I mean, I do now because I've watched it a million times since then, but I remember I had a wrestling magazine. I guess I was about 3 or 4 years old, and the magazine was – I actually might have been a little older than that. It was talking about his retirement in WWE, about WrestleMania 3 time, and it said, is he retiring because of the brutal match he had with Greg Valentine? And there was PWI, you know, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, doing its job as a magazine to create a story of that match was so brutal at Starrcade 1983 that still to this day has affected him in 1987. That's why he's leaving the business early. And I always marked out for that, and I've always wanted to ask him, is that why you retired? Which we all know that's not why I retired, but I just thought it would be, you know, one of those things. We do have an awesome guest tonight, actually.
Yeah, well, we've got Stan Robinson, Universal Independent Wrestling booker. He's also a referee at various other places, East Coast Wrestling Entertainment, Monstrosity Championship Wrestling, I think NWA Atlanta, from time to time. And hopefully Rick Steiner. I talked to him last Tuesday, and he just told me to remind him the day of, and I texted him today and didn't get a response, and then I called him just before the show went on the air and left a message. But we do have a caller. I think I recognize the number, but I'll go ahead and bring him on. Who is this?
Larry Goodman.
Larry, how are you?
Hello, Larry.
Hey, just you're talking about Roddy Piper in Georgia brought up a memory for me, one of the most awesome matches I ever saw live, Roddy Piper versus Buzz Sawyer in a dog collar match at the Omni.
Oh. Now, that was his second dog collar match, right, or was it the first one?
You know, that I don't know. It was at the Omni, and it was the only one that I'm aware of that took place at the Omni between the two of them.
That's right. Yeah, okay. So, because he did the one with Valentine in 83, but the Buzz Sawyer angle was before then, I believe.
Yeah, and it was. And the thing of it was,
right.
that was the day when there was no barricades or anything, and they just went brawling in the crowd with no protection, just the police. So, yeah, it was very wild, crazy.
Is there any video footage of that match anywhere?
I'd love to know. I'd love to see it.
Oh, I would too. My goodness, I love Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer.
A fan got in Buzz's way, and he just took the chain and jabbed him in the throat with it. It was really something to. No, that's a shoot. He did. They had to protect themselves out there.
Oh man, that's so freaky. See, that's wrestling right there. That is the one element that I think is really missing the most is. Not only the element of danger, but just the anything goes. Like I'm sure I've said it before on other podcasts and probably to people out and about, is everything in wrestling now is just too scripted, and I mean everything. Like, you don't have that organic type of – like, Daniel Bryan, I think, is the most organic thing that's happened right now in the business, which is great. Yeah. And you still get a little bit on the independent level, but a lot of things, like, everything's so, like, meticulous. Like, you know, and I've heard a story from – you know, Sabu had told Chafee, and it got back to me, was WWE makes you count your steps before your entrances. They want everything to be the same amount of steps every time you do it. And you see that when you watch their product, and you even see that on TNA's product a lot, too. It's like, it's the same thing. And that's one reason why I was hoping Alex, you know, Rick Steiner was going to be on, because I want to ask about Alex the Puppet. Like, whose idea was that?
Yeah, it's so overly scripted, overly directed. Yeah, I'm on the same page all the way.
Yeah. So, but, and, you know, we're about to have Stan Robinson on, so there's plenty to talk about with Stan.
Yeah. I know how you feel about wrestlers doing podcasts, and Colt Cabana in particular, Josh, but did either of you happen to listen to the Mike Quackenbush interview last week?
I did not get a chance to listen to it. I've not said about on this show why I do not like Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana came on his show and insulted radio guys. And that's where the whole thing started, was on his podcast with Steve Austin. He made a mention that he couldn't see himself booking guests or doing cold calls. It was just about him and his friends. And as someone who's been struggling the radio business, you know, as long as I have, to hear a guy say, well, fuck doing a radio show, I'm just going to go do some of my friends, that's the same kind of attitude that wrestlers shit on when a promoter does that or a booker does that. So why can't I have that same kind of attitude about radio? Like, that's just – and that's where that whole thing came from. I don't hate Colt Cabana personally. I don't know the guy professionally. Yeah. I think he's a good wrestler. But when you, like, insult myself and Chafee and a guy, one of my friends, Justin Johnson, and other guys I've worked in radio with for a few years, when you insult us and, well, I could never do that, it's just about me and my friends just talking wrestling, that to me is the same mentality that a Money Mark promoter has. Well, I didn't really want to put anybody else over but myself, you know. So it's like, go fuck yourself. That's how I felt about it.
Fair enough.
And that's that. So I just want to get that out of the way. So,
well, I was asking about the Mike Quackenbush interview in particular because he –
Did Quack admit why he closed it down?
He said it was actually like a storyline that he's been – a very sophisticated storyline that he's been working on since day one.
Really?
And
really, man. And
the,
and you know what? There's a there's at least 2,000-3,000 Chikara marks that are gonna buy that.
Yeah.
No,
but the reason
that
I asked about that
is
because
he
kind of addressed some of what we were just talking about, and he said, you know, he was just talking about how wrestling as an art form is unique. You know, it's kind of like Cirque du Soleil and this and that, but it's really its own thing. And one of the reasons for that is that there is so much interaction between the performers and the fans. And
right,
Chikara, at least you can still you can high five a wrestler as he's going to the ring or whatever. You won't see that in WWE or TNA all that much, but and that's very much very, you know, far less access to the wrestlers than what we were talking about, where they brawl into the crowd and you get punched in the throat if you touch them or whatever. But
yeah,
I mean, it's kind of along the same lines, and I just it made me remember that because I just looked at it 8 days ago.
That's still he's a guy that, like, again, he's one of those that I would love to pick his brain, because the Chikara is so out there. I'd love to really talk to him about how did you get that idea, how did you come up with this stuff. But at the same time, like, I mean, wow, to sit there and I mean, it's great for him. I mean, it's a very smart business standpoint, and people are going to buy it, but that is not what the rumors were for almost a year and a half. So
Right. Well, I would, you know, you should go listen to it. I thought it was a good interview. The only thing to me that was kind of – that was questionable was that it was two – you could tell it was two guys that were friends, and they didn't
right.
do a whole lot of explaining what Chikara is and why or what happened at the last show and stuff like that. So if you didn't already know that and you were listening to it, you would just have no clue who this guy is and why what they're talking
right.
about. But, I mean, I do know a little
bit
about it.
You know, and that goes on Cole Cabana. He's not a radio guy. He's just doing it for him and his friends, and it's just there to pop himself. And it just, you know, it popped a few other people because CM Punk said his name on a TV show.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, you know, it's a podcast. I mean, I get what it is, but, you know, a trained professional is going to, you know, reset the situation. But again, I'm not a professional podcaster. I just do it as a hobby, so.
All right. Well, we just had a caller. I think it may
oh,
have been...
don't tell me he hung up. Jesus Christ, Stan, stop being a pussy and get on.
I'll message him on Facebook because I actually don't have his number, but, I don't know if that was him or not, but Stan, if you're listening, and that there it is. Is that
you,
Stan?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Is this Stan Robinson?
Yep.
Stan,
how's
how are
it going,
you?
Stan? So before we get into the interview, Stan
that,
hits
that
me up the other day on Facebook. I had to say this, Stan, before we get into this. Stan was like nervous. He was like, I don't know if I should do the interview. He was nervous. And Jonathan, Larry, you guys will attest to this. He's got reason to be nervous because of something that was posted way back in July 18th, 2013. The seven deadly sins of Stan Robinson. Stan, we are now here almost 6-7 months past that post, and you are finally going to answer some of these questions. Are you ready?
I'm good. Let's go.
Okay. You have been the center of controversy. Do you want me to start asking questions, or do you want to go ahead and set the record straight before we get into this?
I'm about to say that is just a bunch of hearsay and rumors and stuff.
All of it or most of it?
Most of it, or pretty much all of it.
So you don't want to give any more of it? You just it's hearsay and rumors, huh?
Is there anything in particular you want to clear up?
That's all ancient.
Okay, here we go. I'm firing the first question.
Well, I mean,
what happened? What happened with you and the Empire?
That was all a. The Empire. That's when.
That's a Jagged and Marks and Casey Kincaid.
Yeah, me. That's where me and Jagged Edge had a disagreement.
Okay. You gotta give me more on this, man.
What was the disagreement about?
At the time, that's Jagged and them wanted to go to Peach State when Mike Jackson Mike Jackson was the booker. And at the time, I had him as champions, and they were wanting a double shot.
Okay.
And everybody knows the whole entire ordeal back then, even though we've actually made peace with Peach State.
We know the rumors and hearsay.
We know the heat, but let's hear the heat. Okay, now we'll get back into this one, but let's go ahead and swirl this back around. Why did UIW and Peach State have so much animosity for so long?
All because of my jest.
Okay, let's go. What'd he do?
What'd he do?
Yeah, like why? Let's hear it. This is an interview, man. Let's do it.
Well, I mean, there are the obvious things. You both run in the same area. You were running on the same nights. But what did Mike Jackson do?
Well, when I was still working for him, I let him know that we had, at the time, I think it Ricky and Robert booked. Ricky, Peach State had Ricky booked like a week later, and Mike Jackson just went, said something about booking their talent. And he's like, I thought UIW is dead. I figured Joe had already gave it up.
And that's sort of it?
You were working for Mike Jackson at one point?
Peach State.
Okay, right. So then when did UIW start up?
Pretty much when that same night I walked out.
And that was what, 2008, 2009 or later?
When was it? 2012.
Okay. Wow, UIW's but UIW start. Bull Buchanan was running UIW originally, correct?
No, my dad started UIW. We've been running since 2010.
That's what I mean. Okay, so you were working at Peach State, and your father was running UIW in 2010.
Yeah, at that time I wasn't working for Peach State. I didn't go back to working for Peach State till 2011.
Okay.
Well, I remember when there was a time where you kind of were coexisting. You were even doing angles that crossed over where UIW guys would show up at Peach State and then the next week at UIW that match would take place or whatever. So when did the rivalry really start and how?
2012 with the whole entire Mike Jackson, how he added, talking about we're booking their talent and all this other types of stuff. And when he said the whole entire deal of, I thought y'all were dead. I figured y'all had already gave it up.
So he basically disrespected you and you were mad at him about that. So you started running on the same day. Is that what happened?
We have always, UIW has always ran on first and third 30 since 2010.
That is a fact. I'll give him that. That is a fact.
Okay.
So they switched their schedule to compete head-on with you guys, correct?
Yes, at that point.
Now, how far is Villa Rica from, I guess they're running at Carrollton up in Peach State, how far apart are those two cities?
About 10 minutes, if that.
About 10 minutes. And were you guys sharing a lot of the same fans? Like, was a lot of the same fans going from Villa Rica to Carrollton and vice versa? Or did you guys already have distinct fan bases from the get-go?
I'm about to say, there's some fans that go to both shows, but, like, Peach State fans got their regular dedicated fans. UIW's got their same dedicated fans.
Okay. So, now, because of this Mike Jackson thing, you did have, some talent issues. So, besides Empire, was there any other talent that was trying to go to a Peach State and leave you, or was there any talent you guys were negotiating with that were working at Peach State to come to UIW?
Just Empire. That was the only...
That was the main one?
Yes.
Okay. And do you feel that you were disrespected by Empire by the fact that they knew what was going on and you were, how did you take it personally? Like, did you take it personally before you took it professionally is what I mean.
I understand that the whole entire, they can make more money at Peach State.
Right.
But at that time, I had them as my champion. Like, Jagged was the U.S. champion. Shane and Casey were the tag team champions.
Right.
And they were wanting a double shot. And I know how Mike Jackson he is.
So would you rather them – now, part of the controversy came from this whole thing was they – all three of them were champions. Did you think it would have been best for you to at least allow them to drop the titles and then double a shot? Or was it just one of those things where you were like, fuck you guys, you can go, and I'll do some of those with my belts?
I actually wanted to have them one show to where they actually dropped the belts and then let them go. But they refused.
And why did they if you don't want to get into it, we don't have to, but I think you should because you're trying to clear your name a little bit. So how much of the negotiation was it on the dropping of the titles before they went to Peach State that was holding up the entire deal?
Wait, I think I talked to Jagged and Matt. I talked to them like 3 to 4 days, and I tried to talk them into doing it, but they just refused. And well, then like 2 weeks later, they're at Peach State.
Okay.
So what did you say to them? What was your solution that they refused? Hello.
Let's see. I'm still here. I'm trying to call.
He's trying to think the words.
I'm about to say that is like 7 months ago, 8 months ago. That's like old news to me still. Everybody moved on. It's pretty much all in the past. Everything's bygone to bygone.
We can move on.
We got to address the situation because, I mean, it's got to be addressed, Dan. And we talked about this a little bit. Like, you know, we're going to move forward. I mean, don't worry, but we got some time to kill, and you have been, like I said, a very big part of a very controversial Georgia – I mean, everyone in Georgia, whether they're in the business or a fan, have heard about the UIW Peach State feud to an extent. I mean, for a while, this was the only thing you really heard about besides, you know, the shitbags of an OSWA. So I know you don't want to talk about it, but at the same time, you have to understand from a PR perspective and from, you know, media, like, you are now the face of your company. You've been ousted as the booker. You have to address the situation. When the president bombs Iraq, he has to come out and give a press conference. He may not want to, but he has to, because if he hides, he looks like a bitch. Stan, I know you. You're not a bitch. And some of the things that have been written about you need to be addressed so you can prove that you're not a bitch.
Well, that's actually one of the things that needs to be addressed is you being ousted as booker. You're still the booker, right?
Yeah.
Now, why did you quit booking on Facebook and then come back to booking?
That's just one. I'm going to be straight up with one of my stupid moments.
Okay. And you tend to have a lot of those sometimes, right?
Occasionally.
Okay. And what causes those, Stan? Just, is it pride? Is it youthfulness? Is it, you know?
Pretty much, I admit it, pride.
Okay. So UIW is a family-ran operation. It's you and your father, and who else runs, and is anybody else involved in it at all?
Frankie Valentine and Josh Storm, Raffles.
Right. So because of that, you guys take this very, very seriously. Am I right? Am I wrong?
No, you're right. Completely right.
Okay. So now we're gonna set this straight. Is the UIW Peach State feud 100% officially over?
Yes, and I can clarify that or verify that is because we are April 5th, UIW and Peach State, two promotions, one building, doing that benefit show for referee Terry Hudden.
And what do you guys have planned for that show? I know you got some other shows coming up, but what do you guys might be having planned for that night?
We haven't really discussed it yet. We're just... Like I said, we really ain't discussed it just yet.
Right.
How did the truce come about? Did someone call someone and say, let's bury the hatchet, or what happened?
Pretty much, me and Rick Michaels.
When Rick Michaels took over as booker, basically, at Peach State?
Yes.
Okay. So it was all Mike Jackson. If Mike Jackson was still there, you guys would still be rivals.
I wouldn't say that. But we probably wouldn't be, like, working together, somewhat trying to work together if that was the case. But I never had a problem with Shane at all. My main thing was Mike Jackson.
Well, that's good to hear. So now that you are definitely moving forward, let's talk about 2014. Just a few weeks ago, you brought in Gregory Iron. You really developed the women's division. I mean, you've developed about four women in your division. Where do you see the most growth for UIW from a talent standpoint? Because, you know, it's something that a lot of people have had to point at. UIW has a lot of top-heavy talent, but that lower and mid-card, it changes daily. How do you address that, and what are you looking at doing to secure, you know, a better talent pool for UIW in 2014?
Oh. Let's see. So, bringing in out-of-state talent. Yeah, that's one of our main goals.
Okay. Any certain names or anybody that you're looking at?
I got the Hooligans coming in May.
Okay. Now, are they going to be coming in like? Are they coming in on a consistent basis, or are you just going to use them like, you know, occasionally?
Occasionally.
Okay. Who are the Hooligans?
Devin Mason Carter. They actually trained a little bit,
they trained at WA4, and they used to work for me at PWE. If Larry's still on, Larry will remember the Cutters.
Yeah, they were in Columbus for a while. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, there you go. They were at GCW for a little bit too. Yeah, great tag team. You can see them on Beyond Wrestling if you go on the YouTube and watch those free matches. They do some of them. Are they working Absolute Intense Wrestling too, Stan? AIW.
We'll probably bring Gregory Iron and Ricochet Page back. That's pretty much going to be a lot.
Oh, nice.
I'm in talks with bringing in Chance Profit.
Oh, wow. Keep going. I like this list. You get me intrigued now. Keep going.
I talk to a lot, so I'm trying to keep my mind in, like, to know who I actually talk to.
Right. Weren't you in contact with Jason Kincaid in Tennessee?
Yes.
Yeah, or Virginia, awesome. Tennessee, yeah.
As of right now, that match is locked unless going to do this 16-man junior heavyweight tournament, which will feature Jason Kincaid in it.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Hollis.
Okay.
As of right now, that match is a lock for May 31st.
Okay. Sounds like an intriguing match. So are you guys going to create a junior heavyweight title, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we actually already have one, but it's just that belt's changed names so many times. It went from a cruiserweight belt to, for some all the reason, it turned into an internet title.
So you're retiring that belt and starting a whole new lineage, I take it.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I know that you like to use the big names, and you do them for the one-offs. Why is that?
That is a good question.
Well, actually, I was going to say that you bring them back. You'll at least have a program with a lot of them. They'll come back two or three shows sometimes.
Sometimes they do, yeah.
Yeah, like, got Homicide and Hernandez coming in April, and then Homicide will probably be back later on this year.
So what do you got planned for Homicide?
Let's see. April 19th, it's LAX versus The Usual Suspects.
Is that official?
Yes.
Is it set in stone?
Yes.
You're not going to fuck me again, are you?
No. No.
I was about to drive from Tampa to Villa Rica to witness Murder One versus Homicide, and then all of a sudden on Facebook, like 3 days of the show, I was like, wait, Homicide's not going to be there? What happened with Homicide the first time?
Didn't have it in the budget.
Oh, okay. But now you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that match is going to happen, LAX versus The Usual Suspect. And then ODB's coming in May. And just a couple days ago, we actually confirmed the Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman?
Yes, coming. Yeah, booking all the way for October.
Wow. So that'll be your big Halloween show?
Yes.
Okay, look at the UIW. So you're using the big names, you're revamping your talent. Why?
Always got to have new talent.
Okay.
And the thing about UIW, a lot of old talent has come
mm-hmm.
and go, and most of them is undecided.
Right.
Got to bring in new blood for the fans.
Right. No, and that's you know, that's going to kind of segue into my next question. I'm glad you actually said that. Anarchy, you can pretty much write on a piece of paper their roster every second and fourth. NWA Atlanta, you can pretty much write on their roster, pencil it in. When they run, they got a set roster that they're going to – you know, they got about 12 guys they're definitely using. PWR up in Gainesville, you know, I'll give them credit where it's due. They usually have a pretty set group of guys. Platinum has a pretty good set group of guys. Peach State, AWN, you guys don't. Why is that exactly? Like, you guys are the one show where there are no UIW guys, except for, I guess you could say, maybe Josh Storm and Frankie Valentine and you and Billy Knight. But outside of that, it's like you guys are constantly changing who's coming in, and why is that exactly? Like why is there such a inconsistency with the talent roster?
There's actually more people on that roster. Brad Lynch, Bull, Morgan
okay.
Cannon.
Okay, well, yeah, I meant to say Bulls.
Jimmy
right.
the Kid.
Yeah, Jimmy. No, he just bailed out on me for like 6 months.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he just disappeared a while back, yeah. So why is there such an inconsistency? You're ducking the question, Stan.
The inconsistency is a nice. That is a good question.
I know it's a good question. I'm a fucking journalist. Give me the answer. You're killing me here.
Well, I really ain't got no answer on that.
Well, that's you need to think of one. it falls on you, Stan. You're the booker. Why is there such inconsistencies with the talent? I present the problem, you give me a solution, and we move forward. This is how this is going to work. So I present the problem. What's your solution?
My solution is life. We actually do got a group of like Murder and AJ's been added to that list.
They've been gone. They've been gone for several months though.
They
or
just brought them back, exactly.
Yeah, but they just brought them back on a lot of
so
stuff.
Well,
people don't
let's,
know.
Let's
I actually do
an
got
example.
Involved.
Let's take them as an example. Why have they not been booked regularly in the past couple, 2 or 3 months, or more?
You really didn't have it in the budget.
Okay. So is that usually the reason if you don't see someone for a while, it's just because you
another thing
your
is,
funds are your funds are elsewhere.
Yeah. Another thing is people don't know this, but I got a boss and my boss is like a prick and he's got to approve everything.
You have a boss at UIW?
Yeah, my dad, the promoter.
Okay, so now here's a perfect question. Okay, so you're the booker, your dad's the promoter, but everything you do has to go through your dad, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so do you guys book together? Do you guys sit together and say, okay, you know, I'm thinking about doing this month and this month, or is it just one of those things where you present a card and he says, we can't do that?
Yeah, pretty much I present a card. And a lot of it, my fault is like I like bringing in new guys and making different stuff, and it's all pretty much my fault.
I'm glad you manned up. Now as a booker, and booking's tough. I mean, you know, it's a tough job, and this is where you know we gotta you know we are fans of the business. All three of us on this call right now are fans of the business. We want to see UIW succeed because if UIW succeeds, then other people succeed, and so forth and so forth. How, and it's a learning curve for you, so how hard is it for you, you know, you're a younger man, to book a company with the ceiling that you kind of have with that whole check, because, you know, Steve Platinum, he doesn't have to worry about those kind of, you know, that check and balance. Bill and Todd probably don't have to worry too much about the check and balance. They just go to Franklin and say, this is what we're doing, and Franklin just kind of approves it. So how do you deal with that, and you know, how can you improve on it?
Am I still here?
Yeah.
All right. I'm about to say, I'm outside. Can you repeat that?
Come on, Stan. Okay, Stan, how are you as a young booker, how do you handle the inconsistency that you know you have? How do you handle the check and balances, and how are you going to, you know, get everybody – okay, you know what, case in point, where's the fucking leadership?
Leadership? That's one thing.
Where's the leadership of the locker room?
There really ain't no leader.
And why is that?
That is a good question. I'm about to say.
Stan, you're not stupid, man. I've met you a million times. You're a good referee. You're a good kid. You love this business. This family is in your blood. You have been in locker rooms since you were, what, 13 years old, if not younger?
Yeah.
You have learned from some decent guys. I know for a fact. You used to travel with Ted Allen, correct?
No, I didn't know. It's Frankie that done most of the travel.
Frank, okay, yeah, but you have learned from Frankie, who learned from Ted, correct?
Yeah, yes, sir. I used to travel with Frankie.
Okay, and your dad's been in the business for 2 decades at least, correct?
Yeah.
So where is, like, and you know, and I'm not putting it all on you, but to run a business, not let's not think about it as wrestling. To run a business, there needs to be leadership. Who's the leader in that locker room?
That's the answer to the right one right now.
And who should step up and be that leader?
I guess I'm the booker, so it should be me.
So do you think that you might be a little overwhelmed doing two things?
Good possibility.
Is it time for Stan Robinson to focus on building UIW and not worrying about the refereeing career, or is it time for Stan Robinson to find a booker and just worry about refereeing?
Focus on UIW.
Do you still referee UIW shows? You didn't the last one I went to.
No, I don't referee UIW.
So what do you do on a Saturday night when UIW is running a show? Give me your entire, from sun up to sundown, what are you doing?
Pretty much just being what a booker does.
Stan, seriously, hold on. Many of our listeners have never booked a wrestling show. Just like if I was interviewing, you know, Rick Steiner right now, and I said, Rick Steiner, what's it like being a pro wrestler? I don't think he'd give me that answer. Stan, give me an answer that will explain exactly what a booker does from sun up to sundown on a show night.
Give the wrestlers their finishes and stuff.
Let's start from the beginning. You wake up Saturday morning. Let's start from the very beginning. You wake up Saturday morning. What do you do?
Start writing down that card and out in the match order.
Okay. And then you – okay, so now you're probably around 10:30, 11:30. What time do you get to the building?
Around 3. To set up the ring, chairs, everything.
Okay. And then what time do the workers usually get there?
Some 5:30, but mostly 6:37.
Okay, what time does the show start?
8.
8 o'clock. So you got guys that literally come in an hour before the show starts.
Yes.
And doors are already open by that point, right?
Yes. Most people get there at 6:30 unless they're double shot.
Okay. And do you allow a lot of double shots?
Sometimes.
Okay. Is it just to get better talent, or is it just, you know, because the way you guys run, you just want to, like, you want to be fair to some of the other guys? Or, like, why do you allow double shots like that?
To be fair.
Okay.
As long as it ain't, like, 10 minutes up the road, about
right,
like
yeah,
30,
no,
45, we're good.
Okay, so who's some guys that do usually double shot for you?
Let's see. AJ Steele and Pandora be double shot on Saturday.
Okay.
From Monroe.
That's a long fucking drive.
Yeah. But they start at 7 o'clock, so, and we start at 8. And they're wrestling first since they're like in a mixed tag match.
Now, go ahead, Jonathan.
Do you ever have issues with other bookers and promoters that, you know, aren't cooperating with you? If you need them to be there at a certain time, do they usually put?
We're normally good on that. I ain't never had no issues with that.
Okay.
Have you had any issues with anybody having car trouble and being late and coming to the show?
I ain't even run into that one yet.
You got
Hopefully
lucky.
I don't.
Yeah, you got lucky. Be a mad scramble to fix your car when that happens. So you usually, and you're pretty good about preparing your posters and getting your posters out early, and you do a good job of Facebook postering, which drives me fucking nuts. But I'll give you, you know, you do a better job than some companies. Now, when you set that card and you get that poster made, I know it's card subject to change, but how much changes really have to go into, you know, what you propose to your dad, what gets approved, and what actually happens on show day?
I'm about to say, luckily, nothing has changed lately. Last time something that really made a change was last July.
What happened there?
Like murder no show, bull canceled because he had to work a shoot job.
Well, and why did people no show, or why did murder no show?
Murder's murder sometimes.
Elaborate.
I'm about to say, I don't know.
I mean, I know
exactly
what you're saying, but I mean, you know, just elaborate.
I'm about to say, I don't know why he even no showed that night.
Well, hasn't he worked your show since then? Have you not asked him? Or?
Yeah, he's worked.
So did you never ask him why he didn't show up, or did you just go, okay, and see you next time?
Yeah, pretty much okay, see you next time, because I know murder all my life.
Right. Now, you've had a very veteran locker room at points, Bull Buchanan, Murder 1, AJ Still. I apologize if I forget anybody else. Of course, Billy Knight as well. Do you ever feel that, and Jesse Bailey is another one, that if you could utilize them, and I'm not talking about like in-ring or anything like that, but could you utilize them better backstage in a role that would possibly help you a little bit?
Yes, that is I'm about to say, if I get like, sometimes that's what I ask for advice, like, with some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, like you said, veterans. Like,
right.
Well, why are they going to listen to this young man sometimes? That's why I give them a lot of leeway. That's really why there ain't no leadership. Because
right.
they're all veterans, and they know what the hell they're doing.
Right, and I give you that, and it's always good, but at some point, the shit has to roll somewhere, and it usually is going to fall on you. And honestly, UIW's problems have fell on you.
Yes.
Sadly, you are, like we said earlier, you're the face of the company now. So, you know, is this something you're addressing in 2014? I mean, I know what your goals are, you told me, and we'll get to those. But you got to address the small problems first, and the small problem is actually a very large problem. How do you get guys that are veterans, that are 30, 20, 15 years in the business to respect you? You can't go pop them in the face. I mean, you can't punch them, but, But what can you do to get them to understand where you're coming from? Come on, Stan. You're killing me here.
I'm about to say, I'm thinking on that one, because that's a lot of big son of a gun, you know?
I mean, I can throw out some more names, too. I mean, you've been affiliated with Doug Summers. You've been affiliated with Ted Allen. You know, UNW's had a great locker room of veterans.
Yes.
And now here you are, probably, you know, I don't want to say you're the lowest man in the totem pole, but in all honesty, looking at your card sometimes, you probably are the least experienced.
Yes, and I would agree with that. I'm still learning this whole entire booking process and everything.
So why did you want to be a booker?
The story behind that was I really didn't. It was one of them deals where it's like I had to step up or UIW might have failed 2 years ago.
Well, earlier when I
be a booker?
Earlier I asked if you were still booking and you said yes, but you mentioned something about stepping down. So was there a time when you in the last 6 or 7 months where you were not booking UIW?
Nah. I'm about to say after that Seven Dillon Sands Post, that was the last time I actually done the whole entire quitting ordeal. Since then, I've just been basically focused and trying to make UIW better.
Okay, so you quit, but came back before the next UIW show. So there was no interruption of you as Booker. Okay. So back to Josh's question. Why did you want to be a Booker? And you were explaining how you kind of fell into that.
But I guess one of them deals where my dad hooked up with this young chick, and it's like he came in goo ga, and it's like he lost focus on the booking part of UIW. It's one of them deals where he's basically like, here, you do it.
So he asked you to do it?
Yes.
Okay. And did you want to do it, or was it a reluctant thing?
It's one of them reluctant things, like, because we've been going for, like, at that point in time, like, 2 years, and I didn't want to sit and go. And I was like, hey, I might can do it and learn in the process.
So when your dad was booking, was he the leader in the locker room that Josh was asking about?
Yeah. Yes, he's basically, he is somewhat of a leader, but he does what I do, the whole entire leeway that most people do. Like, he go to him, and they agree on something.
Okay,
now,
so
go ahead, Jonathan. Sorry.
Does he still have any kind of leadership role when it comes to the day of the show and people showing up and going over the show? Or is that all you?
I'm about to say, I deal with pretty much all the workers in the back, and he does the dealing with the fans and all that other type of stuff.
Now, who came up with the family first angle?
Family first deal. That basically presented itself when he hooked up with that young girl.
So that story is based on a real-life situation?
Yes. He turned on Frankie. Like, let's see who was all part of that. He turned on Frankie. Terry Lawler made a save. Terry Lawler turned in. Josh made a save, and then it was off and running from there. Like, he had his little group called the Immoral Minority, and me, Frankie, and Josh made up Family First.
So that realism, that blurring of the lines, is that something that UIW is going to try to do more of, or was that just a one-time thing because it was just so real you had to do it?
I'm about to say that was one of them deals that it's so real you just had to do it because a lot of people knew what was going on.
Well, you know what, Stan Robinson, you have given me 45 minutes of very, very good interview answers. I mean, that time you didn't want to answer the question. I understand that, you know, some of this stuff is digging pretty deep. But I'm proud of you. I think you've addressed a lot of the rumors. And I feel that I don't speak for Larry or Jonathan here, but I will say this. If you need any advice, you can always hit me up. And there's plenty of guys in your locker room that I know would be more than willing to help you out. And get a 2x4 and smack some of these fuckers over the head if they don't listen to you.
I'm about to say, I do construction type work, so 2x4s won't be hard to come by.
Yeah, it's time for you to step up. Again, I think you're like 21, 22. Am I wrong?
I'm actually 20.
Okay, so you're still a kid, but you're about to be an adult. You're about to be able to buy a beer. You're in a very tough situation. I get it, and you did stand up for UIW. There's a lot of things that you've done in the past year that have damaged the brand, but this is your chance to fix that. Is this going to be the year that you fix the shit?
Yes. Yeah. I'm about to say 2013. I survived 2013. 2014, that's one of my goals.
What would you say is the biggest or most important lesson you've learned over the past 6 months to a year? As a booker, as someone in the wrestling business in general?
One thing is, don't get, basically be bullied.
That's a good one.
And how do you do that? How do you prevent yourself from being bullied?
Avoid all, like, having my stupid moments and all that type of stuff. I'm like, I'm about to say, 2013, Most of it was my fault. 2014, though, got to be the year. No more looking back at the past.
Well, you have a show coming up that I want to talk about, and I'm sure you want to talk about it as well. But before we do that, are there any other rumors or anything else you want to set straight or anything else you want to address?
I'm about to say we're good.
All right.
All the rumors are pretty much dead. 2013, that was all in 2013. I'm moving forward.
All right. So,
talk about this next show.
Show on Saturday, you've got the main event, Bobby Moore versus Bull Buchanan. You got a couple of other events, and then you just have a bunch of people listed below that. So what can we expect on Saturday?
Let's see. I can pretty much tell you all the lineup now. It's Bobby Moore versus Bull. It's a rematch between the usual suspects and Billy Knight, Jailhouse Rock, Terry Lawler, Buford versus Eli Daniels, Kyle Matthews versus Josh Storm, Brad Lynch versus Frankie, and Jake Cole versus J. Rod.
Oh, J. Rod's coming back?
Yeah.
How'd you pull that one off?
I seen him at NW Atlanta.
yeah, he's been working in NW Atlanta quite a bit.
So as a referee, Stan, where all do you ref at? Because you're all over the place sometimes, man. I got to give you credit for driving some of the distances you drive.
I'm about to say, if my phone dies, I'm about to say that's why I disappeared. But,
that's okay. The show's almost over. So just fill us in your referee, and we'll go from there.
I'm about to say, reffing, I pretty much ref everywhere. Phoenix City and GCW in Phoenix City, Rampage. I just refed Anarchy a couple weeks ago.
How was that?
It was good. First time ever. Ever up there. Let's see. Ref Peach State. NW Atlanta. Jonathan Williams, Monstrosity.
He's everywhere.
ECWE, you still working there too?
Yes.
They got a show on Sunday. Are you going to be that show?
Yes. Maybe Murder show up on time this time.
Do you, when you referee at other places, do you ever, whether it's just asking for help or just observing, do you ever take anything in from other shows, especially at places like Anarchy and Rampage when it was there, you know, where there are obviously people that have been doing it for a long time and have a lot of history in the business?
But so, yeah, I pay attention to how things are run, like what I was talking about earlier, the leadership stuff.
Yeah, speaking of which, okay, when you go to, like, and I know you only went there one time at Anarchy, but do you see how it's organized and how, like, you know, you get there and you know Bill and Todd are in charge?
Yeah.
You see how that works? Do you want UIW to be, not on Anarchy's level, because Anarchy's got the name brand per se,
yeah.
I mean, you know, but do you want your locker room to kind of have that kind of atmosphere eventually? Like, is that what your main goal is?
Yeah. And have fun, I'm about to say. I like how these leaderships are talking about these, but literally having meetings like before a show, like 30 minutes long.
No, I'm not saying you need meetings, but I think that maybe, you know, you should at least have a leadership. Like, people should be able to go to you and ask ideas and suggestions. And one of the biggest complaints that you know, I've heard, and again, is the fact that a lot of your finishes are the same finish multiple times. And I think if Larry's still on, I think it might have been one of his reports where he said that, you know, it was like three roll-ups in a row and some other things.
I'm about to say, that was back like in August. I remember that. I'm about to say, yeah, that wasn't one of the best ones I've done. But, like I said, I'm still learning that process.
Right. Do you have your GED or your high school diploma?
That is a no.
Are you going to get it?
Yes. That's another one of my goals for 2014. But that's
there you go.
Related.
And then get your GED or your diploma and go take some college courses on leadership and business management.
Sounds like a great idea to me.
There you go. I think we got it, Stan. I think you're on the right track to a good 2014.
Sounds good to me. I'm about to say 2014. I wanted to make it a better year, definitely. Probably one of the best years.
Larry, did you have any questions for or comments or anything?
Well, it sounded
Stan?
Like Josh was offering to be Stan's life coach or something here on this
yeah.
interview. So, but I was curious to know about your going outside the state to book people like Jesse Bell and Ryan Howe from Ohio and Mickey Knuckles and that Greg Irons guy you're bringing in. How did that come about?
All Facebook. It's like I've heard of them. And all this other type of stuff. Like, Gregory Iron, there was actually, a couple years ago called Pro Wrestling Ohio. It was on a sports channel. That's where I ran across him, watching him.
So you see people and you find them on Facebook or whatever and contact them?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm about to say, I'm always on Facebook.
Yes, you are.
You have
oh, Wheeler, you know that.
You have three profiles, don't you?
just the main one. I'm about to say I did have like two other ones, but I'm like, why the hell I got so many Facebook pages?
Well, I just found another one today.
Jesus, Dan, come
I'm
on!
Friends, I'm friends with you, and you've got the UIW poster as your profile picture. Then there's another one where you've got a baseball bat in your hand in the profile picture.
I thought I had that one deleted.
And then there used to be a UIW Booker one.
Oh, yeah. I pretty much deleted that UIW Booker page. I'm about to say, because hell, everybody knows who the UIW Booker is. It's like, I can't run from it. I can't hide behind it.
Were you trying to, did you not want that to be known for at some point? That you were
I
booking
did.
The show?
But, yeah, I'm about to say, yeah. And then it's like, oh, hell, everybody knows.
Why did you want it to be a secret?
I really don't even know.
I would imagine it was because you were still refereeing, maybe, and you didn't want it to seem like, you know, you wanted some kind of suspension of disbelief there.
Yeah, I'm about to say that might have been it. I'm about to say another. Because at that point in time, I was doing a lot of refereeing everywhere, too.
No, I think it does make sense because a lot of times a booker doesn't want to be outed as a booker because then, you know, you unfortunately get a lot of rumors started about you. You start, you know, having to face the smoke and the fire a little bit more. And, you know, I mean, hell, we just ran into the ringer right here on this podcast. So just imagine if you were booking, you know, a more well-known show outside of Georgia, like, you know, if it was more nationally known, is what I'm saying. You would be ran through the ringer all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how poor Dixie Carter. I mean, you know, not saying that she's running a great product, but Jesus Christ, some of the stuff that they say to her on Twitter every Thursday, my God.
I'm about to say, yeah, I'm about to pay attention to that stuff, too. I'm like...
Stan, I guess that's it for tonight. Unless you have anything else. When is, after this Saturday, when is the next UIW show?
March 1st. March 1st, March 15th, and March 29th. March 29th is the big five-year show for UIW. That's when the women be in a cage match.
All right. Well,
got a lot coming up in the month of March there. And then you get the big show in April, too.
Yeah, March 29th and April. I'm about to say April 5th is that benefit show where we're doing that benefit show with Peach State at the elementary school in Villa Rica for Terry Hudson.
And what day are you guys in the UIW Hall of Fame?
UIW Hall of Fame, that is March 29th.
March 29th, okay, the Hall of Fame is the 29th, okay.
And that women's match on the 29th, that's Mickey Knuckles and Jesse Bell versus Pandora and Nina Monet, is that right?
Yes, in the case.
Nice.
Wow, a women's cage match.
Yep. And there'll be a lot of other good stuff added to that.
All right, well, I guess we'll let you go, Stan. We appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate you being as candid as you were about some things.
Oh, yeah, I think it was great. I think it needed to be said, and I think you can now move forward.
Thank y'all for letting me clear my name up some.
Absolutely. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your night. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Before we go, I guess we got a lot this weekend. Diamond Pro Wrestling is in Lyons, Georgia, and I've been trying to get Jake Slater to call in, but he doesn't seem to be all that computer savvy. But I even have his phone number. I have his phone number, and he doesn't return text either. But he was going to call in a while back, and he forgot or something, and he said he wanted to call in another time. So I know he works that show a lot. But anyway, that's Saturday in Lyons, Georgia. NWA Atlanta, we mentioned, is in Locust Grove. Empire Wrestling is in Rossville. Peach State is in Carrollton. PCW is running, I guess, if the weather permits.
Stephen Platinum's retirement show.
Yeah, is that Saturday? But they're also at
Actors Saturday,
Express,
right?
Actors Express on Wednesday, I guess, if it doesn't get canceled due to weather. And yes,
well,
Saturday is supposed to be the retirement show or retirement match.
Steve's promo basically promises they're not going to cancel due to weather. I mean, they run at midnight and every other goddamn thing, so he says they're not going to cancel due to weather. We shall see, huh?
How bad is the weather up there in your guys' area?
Nothing yet.
We're supposed to have some ice and snow starting tonight, and it's supposed to get worse tomorrow afternoon. But I think it's mostly because of what happened a couple of weeks ago. You know, people are freaking out a little bit, but hopefully that...
Oh, I gotcha.
Governor Deal's covering his ass now. You know, he's not going to let that happen again.
It was 73 today in Tampa, so...
Larry, do you know anything about Revolution Championship Wrestling? That was why we were going to have Rick Steiner call in, because they've got a show on Saturday in Douglas, and Honky Tonk Man's also advertised. I've never heard of it.
No, I don't. I know. Isn't there an RCW that runs up in North Georgia? But this is a different thing then.
Yeah, it's a different one.
I do not know.
Yeah, I mean, they have a Facebook page, but I'm looking at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. It's on the upcoming events there, and it's basically those two are advertised, and then they don't have much else advertised. But they've got a bunch of sponsors and stuff, so it looks like either a very professionally run show or just the opposite. So anyway, that's going on in Douglas, Georgia. If anyone knows anything about it, please let us know. Southern Pride Championship Wrestling is in Monroe on Saturday. We talked about UIW plenty and ECWE. Mucha Lucha also returns this Sunday. It looks like
a ton of shows.
Cassandra is going to be there again. Ultimo Guerrero, Niebla Roja. I don't think Rey Mysterio is on this one, but...
And Nigel Sherrod is on this one.
Yeah. I don't see him on the poster, but he's been posting a lot about it on Facebook. He was there last time, but he wasn't part of the show. But I know he knows some of those people from his various endeavors in wrestling, so...
I just got a clarification on Facebook. Revolution Championship Wrestling is not ran on a regular basis. They are hoping to use this next show to turn it into a monthly regular show. And our good friend Mark Grayson said you can find out more on GeorgiaWrestlingFans.com. Cheap plug.
Ah, okay. Well, at least he's got some info about it. Did I leave anything out? Anarchy, I think. Did I mention that one? Is that this weekend?
They just ran.
Well, no.
Yeah, they just ran.
I just saw they're doing I guess it's in North Carolina. They're doing a show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Franklin Dove is partnering with some other promotion of the Carolinas to do like a special show, yeah.
Yeah, TCW. And that is this Saturday in Fairview, North Carolina.
God, there's so many shows. Hey, Larry, before we get off, what do you know about the new Omega?
I only know what Jeff Richards has been posting, and I know nothing more.
Okay, that's what I've been reading too. So
yeah, yeah, he's doing a hell of a job of covering the Carolina stuff for us.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he really digs into this stuff. So that's the extent of what I know.
Yeah, I got to get my friend Bunkhouse Bob to do some stuff on the Louisianas because he's into the podcast, but he's he's kind of playing off of like the bigger ones right now, but he's out in Louisiana and he knows a lot of those guys, so I need to get some more information from him as well. He's the one that's helped me with a lot of that stuff out there. But the Carolinas, man, that's a territory right now that's on fire.
Hey, listen, before we go, that interview you just did, you know, I kept thinking like I was watching an episode of The Wire and they had somebody in the box.
Oh my God! I'm McNulty, God damn it! I'm fucking McNulty.
Well,
you did
plenty of outs. You kept telling him, you know, you don't have to talk about this. We don't want to. But then he said he wanted to, and then he would not.
And then he would deflect. And Stan's a good kid. I mean, he's a kid though, and that's what we a lot of times we forget that he's such a kid.
I didn't realize
you know,
he was only 20 years old. I thought he was, like, mid-20s.
He's been in the business forever, man. I swear to God that guy's been refereeing for a decade.
And one factoid, that dog collar match, Roddy Piper versus Buzz Sawyer, August 28th, 1983, in the Omni. The opening match was Mr. Wrestling number 1 against Rick Rude.
Wow. Which website did you find that out on?
What am I looking at here? I'm sorry, I don't even know where I pulled this from.
Sorry, I became
not
a addicted
Georgia
to the history of WWE.
You know, it wasn't GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Damn.
No, seriously, the history of WWE, Larry. There's like reports written like you wrote reports in 1989.
No,
it is the best website ever.
Really?
It is amazing. I will Facebook you this link before I leave my office.
Okay.
All right, well, anything else, guys? I guess we should talk about next week. I don't know who the guests are going to be, but I'm trying to get Logan Creed to call in. I just haven't heard back from him yet. I'm sure he won't have an issue with calling in. It might just be a scheduling thing. Otherwise, I'm still looking at other guests. So if you guys have any suggestions, just message me or whatever. But I guess that's it. Let's wrap things up. And we will be back next Monday at 7.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.